So I'm reading a very short story, and it's from the book of Mark. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Just like that. Okay, I said it was a short story tonight. So I don't know if any of you know what leprosy is. It's not something we see in Australia now. Warts and pussy sores and it comes, I think, because they had infections and they didn't wash well in those days. Not they just never had what we've got. But the problem was, if you caught leprosy, you were actually sent outside of the city and you were separated from all the other people. And you were not allowed inside. And you had to pick for food in the rubbish dumps. Sometimes kind people might bring you out food. But you were separated from the rest of the people. And here's the horrible bit. If you had leprosy, you covered your face. And if you were walking down the street and you saw somebody who didn't have leprosy coming towards you, you had to yell out, "Unclean!" So they would take a wide berth around you. People were terrified of someone with leprosy. Do you know why?
Because
it's contagious. They didn't want to catch it. So a person who had leprosy was kind of, well, do you know what we say in our society? They were a leper, but that's a bit obvious. They were an outcast. They didn't have anyone who would want to spend time with them. In fact, no one would ever do this thing which we love so much as human beings. No one would touch them. Do you know how we hated COVID, didn't we? Because when you met someone, we're so used to we give someone a hug because we love them, don't we? Or we shake their hand. Or, you know what I mean? Or even don't you love it when someone comes and puts their hand on your shoulder or just gives you a cuddle or something? You know we love, don't we? And those lepers, they never were touched by anyone except other lepers, I guess. And so they're completely isolated. No one wanted to spend time with them. And they were unclean. They felt unworthy. Actually, there's a word that's used around St. George. Sometimes your kids might have heard it. That people use when they're in situation. They don't say unclean. They got another word. What's that word? Shame. You know that word? Yep. Shame. Because that's how they felt. They felt ashamed of their position. They felt ashamed of all that was going on. Now, I don't think there's anyone here with leprosy. Just check. Put up your hand if you have. No. So that's not what this story is. You're dressed like that and that's bad enough. But anyway. But sometimes, have you ever been, and I have, I've been walking down the street and someone's walking towards me who doesn't want anything to do with me. And do you know what they do? When they see who it is, they cross over the other side of the street. You ever had that?
No.
No? You're all doing it to me. Sometimes things go on in our lives that cause us to feel like an outcast. It could be because we're old. I'm not looking at anyone in particular. But sometimes old people feel like there's no one who wants to spend time with them. They feel like an outcast. That's true. Sometimes people, when they're sick, not just with COVID, but sometimes people get cancer or something like that, and they find that nobody wants to visit. They're embarrassed or they don't know what to say, and people, when they see you, they look away. There's lots of different ways. There's the look away. There's the look up and away. Could you think about there's this one, you pull out your mobile phone and make out you've just someone's just called you. What's that? And then it rings while you're holding it there. That's right. Sometimes people feel that shame because of their race, maybe their skin colour. Sometimes people feel ashamed because they just think they're plain ugly. Lots of people feel that way. They feel really ugly and they feel unacceptable. Sometimes people feel that way because they've done something in the past and everybody knows about it. How embarrassment. Shame. Sometimes it's because they're an outcast because of things that have happened in their own families. It's a very real thing. And you see when someone is thinking like that because you see it in their eyes and you know what they're thinking, don't you? And what does it make you want to do? There's different things. You could run away and hide or you could beat them up. There's different options, you know. You could get angry with them. You could try and get back at them. You could gossip about them. These are not good things, kids. Don't do these things. But what happens when we feel this shame or this feeling of being outcast is that we have a feeling of being worthless. We have no worth. And it's a horrible feeling because what it causes people to do is hide. When I say hide, I don't mean behind a tree. Hide at home, ashamed of being with people. It causes some people to drink too much alcohol to hide from the pain that they feel. It causes some people to take drugs because they're really thinking, I'm worthless anyway, so what's it matter what I do with my body? I might as well act worthless because I am worthless. I've got nothing to live for. Or I might as well take risks. I'll get in fights. What's it matter? I've got nothing to lose because shame. I feel ashamed. Okay, so that's just to see how that shame works for us. Here was this leper. He's walking along and he sees Jesus. He knows something about Jesus and he says, if you're willing, if you want to, Jesus, you could make me clean. He knows Jesus could heal him. And Jesus does something incredibly powerful, filled with compassion. He did this, right? I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick you, Emery. He reached out his hand and he touched the person. Now, that's an incredible act if you are someone who has been separated from people and not felt the love of touch for a long time. Jesus was filled with compassion and he touched him. No one else would do that for fear. Jesus touched him and he said, be clean, and all of his sores and all of his warts and all of his skin problems were healed like that. He said, Jesus said, be clean, and he was clean. That's interesting, isn't it? Normally, if someone has leprosy and you touch them, then you have two people with leprosy. But Jesus, who is holy, which means clean and perfect, touches, and rather than him becoming unclean, the leper becomes clean. Jesus dealt with all of his uncleanness. Now, what I want to say is this. There's a lot of things in our lives that do make us feel unclean, and one of the biggest ones is sin, is guilt. We know we've done things wrong. If you've ever said, so just say what happens is I'm down the street and I gossip about Bruce. I say something horrible about Bruce. And then, lo and behold, who's walking towards me? Bruce. What do I want to do? I want to hide. That's what sin does that. Why? Does he know anything I've said? No. Well, rumours happen pretty quick in St. George, but he hasn't heard yet. So Bruce is thinking, there's Derek, I'll go out for a chat. Derek's thinking, mobile phone, talk, run away, look up that way. Guilt causes relationships to be broken. It causes a breakdown. Sin causes us to be separated from people who are God's children, people created in the image of God. And sin is a horrible thing, and we're all guilty of it. We all hurt people, and therefore we all become unclean, and we all become filled with shame. It comes out in various ways. So how could it be that Jesus could touch somebody and rather than him become unclean, they become clean? How could that be? That's because he was going to do something soon after that which was incredible. He was going to die on a cross in the place of that leper and in the place of all of the rest of us and all of humanity. He was going to forgive our sins. And therefore, if he's forgiven our sins and he's taken our guilt, we have no more shame. Right. He, on the cross, dealt with all of our forgiveness. He took away all of our sin. He took all of the punishment that was due to us. And we get this promise. This is about Jesus, the Son of God, the most holy man to have ever walked on this planet. Okay? It says this about him. Jesus is the one who makes men holy. Jesus, the one who makes men holy and those who are holy, sorry, and who are made holy are in the same family. What it's saying is this: Jesus was holy, he made us holy, and he made us into the same family. When Jesus forgives our sins, he moves us so that we become children of God and brothers and sisters of Jesus. And then here's the next bit. This is amazing, really, truly. So Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. How about that? Jesus, the perfect, holy Son of God, is not ashamed of us. He is not going to look the other way. When he sees you, he's going to come up and give you a handshake or a hug. He's going to touch you and he loves you and he has done everything to restore us back. Because I don't know, if you're not a Christian, you might think, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve the love of God. And nobody does. But God loves you anyway and he sent his son to die for you. But if you are a Christian and you live a normal Christian life, what you'll find is you get things wrong all the time. And sometimes you have this thought, I think God might get sick of me. I think, you know, he just must be sick and tired of the way I act. The answer is no, he doesn't. He is not ashamed of us. He is not embarrassed about us. He will not abandon us. He will not turn and walk the other way. He will not get sick of us. Isn't that good? Now, if Jesus doesn't get sick of you and he says to God the Father, hey, Anne-Marie is mine. Janice is mine, Jane is mine, Jack is mine, put your own name there. If Jesus says, this one is mine, he is clean, he is forgiven, then that means that the one person in all of history whose opinion really counts is not ashamed of us. Isn't that awesome? Even if the whole world hates you, and sometimes it feels like that, it's not true, but even if it feels like that, there is one whose opinion really counts, who we will spend eternity with, who's not ashamed of us and never will be. Did you hear that, never? I know you don't believe that, Jane. You struggle with it. But it's absolutely true. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will never abandon you. And if you feel unclean, you're not, because he has made you clean. This is really good news. It says then, since the children have flesh and blood, that's us, flesh and blood, he shared in our humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. When Jesus was raised from the dead, you see, humans have got, well, people say they've got two problems, don't they? Death and taxes, right? Taxes are really minor because after you die, they're not there anymore. But death is a big problem for us. And all of us are getting older, and some of us are starting to feel older. Some of us are starting to feel real old. And it stands there, but it says, Jesus shared in our humanity I'll come back to that death in a minute. He shared in our humanity. That means he didn't just share in the humanity of the A-list people. You know, those Golden Globe winners and those... What's that red carpet thing? The...
Logies.
The what?
Logies.
The Logies. The Logies. And the... those other golden things they win. He's not just there for those. He's not just there for the stars and the sporty people. Actually... Jesus, in his humanity, became a normal person. In fact, Jesus was despised. The Bible tells us that Jesus had nothing in him that you would go, wow, there's a really cool bloke. He was just average Joe, right? He had just an olive skin complexion, probably had a beard. He is in all the pictures. He probably had brown eyes and brown hair, and he dressed in your average clothes. He was part of our humanity. He was a normal human being. And in that, he took our sins onto the cross. He rose from the dead. He destroyed the power of death, because the devil loves telling you, hey, you're for it. You're going to die one day and you've got sin and you're going to go to hell forever. The devil's wrong. Yeah, we have sin, but Jesus has taken it. He's dealt with it. So we will be raised from the dead, and we have a God who will take us to eternal life, who's not ashamed of us. And his opinion is the only thing that counts. So there it says, all who were held in slavery by the fear of death are set free. We're not slaves anymore. We are set free from the slaves of our own. You know, sometimes we're a slave to our own thinking. Our thoughts go round and round their head. We don't have to be a slave to that, because Jesus has made us new. We don't have to be a slave to what other people think about us, or even what we think other people think about us. We don't have to even be a slave to condemnation, because we're going to be condemned before God because he's forgiven all of our sins. I hope you can see this. What Jesus has done is he goes through the rubbish dumps of broken humanity and he finds us all messed up. And he picks us up and he dusts us off and he cleanses us and he puts us on his mantelpiece in the pool room. And he says, that is a treasure. That's what we are to him. We are of incredible value. And he says, look at that one. Look at Linda. She's a beauty. She's mine. She is awesome. That's what he's saying. He's not ashamed of us. He loves us dearly. I hope you can hear that. What can take away the love of God that's come to us through Jesus? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing can take it away. What can make God go, right, sick of you today? No. Nothing. Right. Loved by God. I'm going to pray. Father, we want to thank you for this incredible love and grace you've shown us. Thank you that you've forgiven us all our sins. Thank you that you're not ashamed of us and that you call us your brothers and sisters and that you have given us the gift of eternal life. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come to us afresh and tell us that good news again so that we might go home from here with joy in our hearts, that we might just sing praises to you because we know you're the great God who loves us, the most holy God who calls us your children. Father, give us this knowledge so that we might live in the fullness it is to know that we are your children. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.